So I don't know about you, but I, when it's a week like this where there's, when there was a lot of snow and stuff, and then when I see the sun, it's just, everything seems a little bit better. It just does. It's just, everything seems a little bit better when it's not kind of miserable and cold and wet and all that sort of stuff. So I look outside, I can see through these windows, I see the sun, and just everything seems a little bit better. So this morning and next week, we're doing a two-part series on generosity. So this morning and next week, we're talking about generosity, the importance of it, why we're generous, how we can be generous. But before I get into that, I just want to say one thing. You may, as you heard, it's the youth auction next week. And so you may be thinking like, oh, I get it. Of course. Of course, you're going to talk about generosity the week before the auction. And the week of the auction. I get it. I get how your mind would go there. But I have to say that Mark, Pastor Mark, assigned this to us months ago. So this wasn't actually planned. It wasn't like we thought, oh, it's the auction. We should talk about this. It wasn't planned. And so I choose to believe that as just the Lord's will. That's just God's leading and guiding, that he just ordained this to happen. And thank you. And so that's just how it worked out. And so I just wanted to get, clear that up real quick. And I also wanted to say that over the years of my time being here as the youth pastor, I have seen this church be incredibly generous with the next generation and with our students and with our youth ministry. And I have seen this this church just go over and above to support the next generation. And what that tells me is that you all are invested and care about the next generation, which is so important because they're the next generation of church. They're the next generation of believers. They're the next generation of leaders. And so to me, that speaks a lot that you invest and care about the teenagers that are coming through our doors and on Sundays and on Fridays. And so thank you. Thank you so much for always being generous and for always helping out in any way that you can. So this morning, I'm going to be talking about why it's important to be generous. Why it's important to be generous. And then next week, Elise is going to be talking about how we can be generous. But I believe it's important to talk about the why, because when we understand the why, it makes the how a lot easier. When we understand why we should be generous, it makes the how a whole lot easier and less of a struggle. And it's important to know the why, because it's not just, hey, let's be generous because I said so, or let's be generous because then we look really good, or we look really nice, or we feel good about ourselves. It's important to know the why behind why we're generous. And so we're looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to 14. It says this. I'm going to read from the Bible because I'm going to look over there and it's going to be weird. So I'm just going to read straight from here. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on the earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things together according to the counsel of his will, so when we who were the first hope to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him also you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him who were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So why generosity? We're going to look at three reasons of why we should be generous. And the first one is this. We should be generous because God has been generous with us. Because God has been generous with us. In this passage, it talks about that we have been redeemed by the riches of his grace, that they have been lavished upon us. And there's a reason why he's using extravagant language here, because it's a big deal. We have been lavished, his grace has been lavished upon us. When you think of the word lavished, you don't think of just like a small thing, right? It's like I was lavished with, you know, nickels and dimes. Like, no, that doesn't make sense, right? You were lavished with all these, you know, amazing things. And so there's a reason why that extravagant language is being used here is because the thing that we've been given, this grace that we have been given, was expensive. It was bought at an expensive price. And it talks about how it was through the blood of Jesus that we have obtained this. God's generosity is the ultimate standard. God's generosity is the ultimate standard. I would suggest that when we are not generous, most times it's because we don't have a full appreciation of the generosity that God has shown us. Now, of course, there are many different kinds of generosity. There's not just one kind. And what I'm not saying is that, hey, if you don't give lots of money, you don't think God's done a lot for you. That's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because generosity is not defined by an amount. It's not defined by a percentage. It's not defined by a time commitment. It's defined by its attitude. Generosity is an attitude. It's not an amount of money. It's not an amount of time. It's not a percentage of either. It's defined by an attitude. And sometimes the best examples of generosity are for the smallest amounts. I remember one history maker. If you don't know what a history maker is, it's the youth convention that we go to every May. And how History Maker works is we stay in a hotel, and then at the hotel we have our meals, like for breakfasts, but then each student kind of brings money to pay for their lunch on Saturday, their dinner on Saturday, and then their lunch on Sunday. And it's what happens pretty much every History Maker is if the first or second timers, by Sunday they have no money left. That's just how it works. Like by Sunday, it's almost like a rite of passage. By Sunday, they have no money left because on Friday night, they go to the gas station and they buy. Like my favorite is that one student had like, I think, $40 to spend for three meals, which is pretty good. But on the Friday night, which he's already had dinner and stuff, we go to the gas station and he buys like pizza pops, a box of pizza pops from the gas station for like $8. I'm like, you're going to run out of money. Oh, no, it's fine, it's fine. So it just always happens that by Sunday, like all the first timers have no money. It's like it's lunchtime, they have like $1.50. And they're like, oh, what can I get for $1.25? And they're at McDonald's and they're looking at it and they're like, this is all I have left. Or my favorite is like, I must have lost my money. I don't know where it went. Like I'm sure I didn't spend that much. Like, no, you spent that much. I know you did. And so I remember one time on the Sunday we were having lunch, and there's a group of us there eating lunch at a restaurant, and one of the youth didn't get anything. He was just sitting there, and he wasn't like looking sad or like, oh, I don't get any food. Like, he was just kind of doing his thing. And so I asked him, I said, hey, like, are you not going to get anything? And he says, no, I'm not going to get anything. And I kind of like laughed because I knew. I'm like, oh, did you spend all your money? And he's like, yeah, I spent all my money. And I kind of laughed. I'm like, oh, hey, classic. Like, everyone always spends. That's okay. And I said, so like, did you waste it all on food yesterday? And he says, no, I had $10 left today, but I gave it in the offering this morning. Because every Sunday at History Maker, they do an offering for different things. I don't remember what it was particularly that year, but it's usually for things like smaller youth ministries in small towns in northern BC, or it's for youth workers overseas, or things like that. So I remember being like, whoa, like you had your last $10 and you gave it to the offering and you knew that you weren't going to have lunch. Like, you knew that you were, and the thing that impressed me the most is that he wasn't sitting there like, oh, I wish I could have some lunch, but I gave my last $10 to the offering, right? He wasn't sitting there saying, well, I could have got that too, but I gave my $10, or man, I really am hungry. I wish I could have something to eat, but I gave my last $10 to the offering. He didn't say anything like that. He was completely content to be there and not eat, and says, I'll eat when I get home. That's no big deal. Didn't make a big deal of it. We're thinking, man, that's some pretty cool generosity. Because how often, especially at a younger age, do teenagers get like money to go out and spend it with their friends like that? Like some more than others, but I just thought that was a great example of generosity. So I'm not saying that someone has to give a lot of money or a lot of time or whatever to value God's generosity. But what I am saying is that when someone experiences generosity and truly understands the value of what they have received, then they should at least want to try to do the same for others. And it should shape our attitude, or at least it should. Maybe not in the same way, because maybe how someone was generous with you, you can't repay that generosity in the same way, but it should make us want to pass on that feeling. And that's why I would suggest that as Christians, it's part of our calling to be generous. As Christians, it's part of our calling to be generous because of the generosity that we've received. We understand that, man, God has been so gracious with me. He's been so good to me. He's been so generous with me. Shouldn't I want to do the same for others? And like I said, next week, Elise will talk a little bit about how that plays out in our life. The second thing is that generosity reflects the heart of God. Generosity reflects the heart of God. It shows others a taste of what we've received. It shows others a taste of what we received. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we didn't deserve it, while we were a mess, while we couldn't do anything to make it worth his while, he died for us." That's generosity. He's not looking for a return on his investment. He's not looking for us to give back something. He's saying, while we were still sinners, while he knew that we may never actually decide to follow him. And he said, that's okay. When someone is so generous without cause, it can sometimes make us or others ask questions. Like, why are you helping them? Why would you do that? Why would you give up your time in that way? How come you're helping that person? Why are you giving up your Saturday? Why are you giving money to this? The hardest thing, I think, for us sometimes when we're generous is to be generous and not expect anything in return. That can be the hardest thing sometimes. Because we can be generous and we think, like, how can they not be grateful? Don't they know how much I gave them or how much I helped them? They didn't even say thank you. I did this. They didn't even say thank you to me. Or don't they know that I'm, like, pretty awesome? Like, I did all this. I didn't have to. Like, shouldn't they just tell me how great I am? Or even, like, I did all this. And they didn't even come to church. I did all this. They didn't even come to church once. Like, that was a waste. I think that's the hardest thing for us. I remember there was one time a few years ago, I was helping out at a barbecue in Vancouver for the homeless. And how it worked is our church was putting it on, and they would do like a service kind of outside and then do a barbecue to feed like the homeless population in the area. And there was a pretty large number of them that would come to this barbecue. And I remember one time, if I'm being honest and I'm being real, I'm helping out and I'm thinking, like, I am an awesome dude. I am amazing. Like, I don't have to be here, and I am here. I drove all the way to Vancouver, and I'm helping out with this barbecue, and I'm serving food, and, like, I'm an awesome person. I am a great person. Like, I am just reflecting Christ so much right now, and I am just so ready for everyone to tell me, like, thank you so much for doing this. Oh, you're so great. And that's what I thought, honestly. I'm like, they're going to be so grateful. I remember, I guess they were running a bit behind. Their service was going a bit long. And it got to the point where one of the homeless gentlemen came up to me and said, hey, it's like past 12:30. When are we going to eat? And I said, oh, like, I'm sorry. Like, they're going a bit long, but we'll be ready like any minute now, right? And I've worked like in food service. And so, like, I've been used to when people have been rude to me in that sort of way. But I kind of justify that as, well, like, they're paying for this. So, you know. And so I'm like, yeah, we'll be any minute now. And then he says, you can't trust anything when the church can't even follow through with something. And my first thought was, like, you ungrateful person. You ungrateful. I don't have to be, I'm not getting paid for this. I don't have to be here. You're not paying for this. And I was so mad. And I was like, how could you say that? Like, all these people here are volunteering for you. And I was, like, mad. And I was like, I hope you eat last. Like, I hope there's nothing left for you now. Like, I was mad. And it wasn't in that moment. But when I was reflecting on it after, I felt like God was speaking to me. He's like, so Christian, like, you did this. That's great. Like, so why did you do it? Like, did you do it because you wanted that, like, everyone to say that you're great? I was like, well, no, I didn't. That's not why I was doing it. Like, did you do it because you wanted them to say thank you? I was like, no, like, it wasn't, it's not about that. I'm like, so why did you do it? I remember thinking, okay, well, I did it because I wanted to help them. And so I felt like God saying to me, well, if you're doing it to help them, why does their response matter? Like, why does it matter what they say? If you're only doing it because you want to help them, like, you're helping them. So why does it matter, you know, what their response is? I remember thinking, like, oh, okay, well, he could have been a bit nicer, though. Like, he could have said thank you, right? But if we're trying to be generous and reflect God's generosity, then the response shouldn't matter. Because while we were still sinners, he died for us. But wait, Christian, didn't you just say that if someone values generosity, that it should change their attitude? Didn't you just say that if someone really, you know, recognizes the value of that generosity, shouldn't it change how they think? Yeah, I did say that. But sometimes, you know what? The truth is, sometimes when we're generous, people don't appreciate it. Sometimes when we're generous, they don't value it. Sometimes when we're generous, they feel entitled to it. Sometimes when we're generous, they don't even give us the time of day after. They just want what they want, and they're going to be out. So should that change how we respond? Most times it does, but it shouldn't. Because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we didn't value that sacrifice, he still died for us. When we didn't even believe that, he still died for us. When we didn't accept it, when we didn't live like anything to do with that mattered, he still died for us. So if we're trying to reflect the generosity that God shows, then the response that we get to that generosity shouldn't matter at all. It shouldn't. If we're just trying to reflect the generosity that God shows, then the response that we get in return shouldn't matter. Because being a Christian means that we should be generous. There's no way around it. If we're a Christian, we should be generous. And there's a ton of different ways to be generous, and Lisa can talk about that next week, but we should be generous. And the third thing is that generosity helps us keep things in perspective. When we don't focus on ourselves and what we can get and what we can do and what we can be, it helps us keep things in perspective. In Matthew 6, there's a famous verse that says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. Don't worry about all of the stuff that you can get here. Don't worry about trying to get the next biggest thing, the next greatest thing, the coolest thing, or whatever it is, or try to get the newest car or the biggest house. Don't worry about all that. Don't store up for yourself treasures on here where rust is going to destroy it, where eventually it's going to be gone. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven. When we are generous, it helps guard our heart against selfishness. Because it's hard. It's really easy to be focused on what we can get. It's really easy to focus on, well, I could help that person, but I've been wanting this for a while. I've been working hard, and I've been doing all this, so I'm just going to do what I want. It can be so easy to go there. But when we're generous, it guards against selfishness. When we realize that what we get or what we have are not the most important things in life, it helps us put our faith in front of those things. When we get to the point where we realize, hey, it doesn't matter if I have the newest this or the biggest of this, whatever. When we get to that point, it helps us put our faith in front of that because we realize there's bigger things. There's bigger fish to fry. There's more important things. There's more important things. I've done a lot of catering events when I was younger. I worked for like a catering company. We do a lot of events at different places like schools, and we do barbecues and that sort of thing. And most times it was always chaos. We're always behind, and there was times we had to prioritize things that we were doing and say, okay, this is not important. Like this is not, who cares if the condiments look nice right now? Like we just got to throw them out there and let people go crazy because we're way behind, right? There's times we have to put things that are more important in front of things that are less important. We have to judge and say, what's the most important thing here? We have to do that with our faith. We have to be able to recognize and say, you know what? These things are irrelevant. These things, I can like them, I can enjoy them, that's great, but they can't be more important than what our faith commands us to do. Verse 11 talks about this inheritance that we have obtained, the inheritance that we've received from God. See, this inheritance isn't monetary, it's not money, it's not things, but it's eternal. It's eternity. The inheritance that we get from Jesus is eternal. It promises eternity with him. That's the inheritance that we're receiving. And when we live in the promise of that inheritance, then what we are looking forward to becomes less about what we can gain on earth. When we live in the promise of that eternity, then programs like our school lunch program suddenly become really important because that $50 a month means more to this kid who can't eat lunch otherwise than whatever we're going to buy for that $50. That's an example of generosity. And I'm not saying that, hey, if you're not giving $50 and you're not, that's not what I'm saying, but it's the heart behind it, right? It's the attitude behind it. Being generous also helps us remember that everything belongs to God in the first place. Everything belongs to God in the first place. I want you to think about a scenario where someone gives you $10 and says, hey, I want to bless you with this. Here's $10. And you say, like, okay, like, yeah, thanks, great. Like, that's so kind of you. Thank you so much. And then a few hours later, they come back and say, actually, I met some people who could really use some of that money. Do you mind if I take $1 or $2 back and give it to those people who really, really need it? Like, what would you say? Would you say, no, that's my money. You gave it to me. That's my money. That's mine. Like, I'm going to do what I want with it, and I'm going to keep all $10. No, most likely you'd say, like, well, yeah, like, it's your money anyway. Like, you gave it to me, so here's, you know, what do you need, right? When we're generous, it helps us remember that everything belongs to God in the first place. And when we're generous, we recognize that everything we have is God's and that we should be able to return a portion of what he has given us to help others. Because too often we fall into the trap of wanting the next thing, getting the next thing, focusing on that next whatever, promotion or whatever, and we fall into this trap, and the things that are actually important fall lower on our scale of importance. When we give to others, we put them in front of ourselves, and there is no better way to guard against becoming self-centered than putting others in front of ourselves. It's going to be really, really hard to not be selfish and not be self-centered if we're not helping others. It's going to be really, really hard. I would say even impossible, because then we're only focused on what we need and what we want. To wrap up, I want to look at this article I found on the internet. And we're talking about why generosity is important, right? Why it's important. And if we understand that, then hopefully the how becomes easier. It's less of a struggle. When we understand why we should be generous, then it makes it easier to be generous. So there's this website I came across, and it's not a Christian website. It's called lifehack.org. Lifehack. It's like how to, so the idea is like how to live like a better life or sort of thing. And it's, again, it's not a Christian website. But I came across this article, and it said 7 reasons why generous people are more successful. So I was curious, so I read it. So the first one is this. Generous people are happy. When you give back to others, you feel good about that and you're happy. That's number one. Number two, generous people are more relaxed. They're less stressed about the things that they have to get or do. They're just less stressed because they realize there's bigger things out there, right? That's number two. Number three, generous people are willing to work hard. They're not afraid of a little elbow grease rolling up their sleeves. They're okay to work hard and help others, and they're not only focused on, like, okay, I want to have time for, you know, my stuff. They're willing to work hard. Number four, generous people are kind. That makes sense, right? If you're generous, you're kind because you're giving back, you're helping people. Generous people are free. They're not stuck in following that trap of, I need this, I need that. They're living their life in a way that's free, saying, you know what, like, I can give to others, that's okay. Stuff isn't the most important thing. Generous people are free. Generous people have better relationships. That makes sense. Like, if you're generous and you're giving to people, people are going to, you know, have a better relationship with you. They're probably going to want to be around you more. That makes sense. And the last one is that generous people are confident. Generous people are confident. Maybe that confidence comes because they're helping people and they know, wow, I can make a difference. I can really make an impact. But I found it interesting that generous people are more successful. That giving away, especially in like today's world where it's like success is measured a completely different way, that giving stuff away makes you more successful in the long run. For these 7 reasons, according to lifehack.org. Now, obviously, the Christian perspective on generosity is not like, hey, be generous so that you'll be successful. Like, be generous so that you get all this good stuff back. Be generous so that, you know, your business will do better, or that you're, you know, at your job, you'll be better, or those sort of things. That's obviously not the Christian perspective. But it's interesting to me that something that the Bible commands us to be is something that the world views as tools to be successful. It's interesting. It's interesting that something the Bible tells us to do, says you should be this, that the world now recognizes as, hey, yeah, you should be that because you're going to be more successful. It's almost as if God knows better than us what we need. It's almost as if God knows the keys and tools that we need in our lives. No matter who we are, God has been generous with us. It doesn't matter what, and some of you this might be hard to hear, because it doesn't matter what kind of life you've had, the good, the bad, the reality is God has still been generous with us. He's given us so much. His grace is always there in the midst of anything that we go through. His grace is there. And he's been generous with us. So we need to be generous back. I think especially if we take the calling that God places on us to go and be, like we talk about, to go and make disciples and to speak his name to people all around the world, like we have to be generous. It's going to be impossible to follow the Great Commission if we're holding on to everything that's ours with closed fists. So why be generous? God's been generous with us. Generosity reflects the heart of God. It's appealing. It's appealing for people to see that. And to be honest, sometimes that generosity might get taken advantage of. That's a reality. Sometimes that might happen. And that's what we're wise and we use wisdom and try to figure that stuff out. But it's an appealing thing. Generosity is an appealing thing, and it reflects the heart of God. And lastly, it helps us keep things in perspective. It helps us remember what's important. You hear stories a lot of, if people go on like missions trips, or they go to places where people are less fortunate, and they see what people are living in, their eyes are just open, like, wow, like, I cannot believe the things that I found important that now I don't care about anymore. And that doesn't always last. Sometimes it lasts for a few weeks or a few months. But when we see people in dire need, or we see people that have needs that we don't even think about, people are worried about stuff that we never even think about ever. People are worried about, where am I going to get my next meal? Most of us never have to worry about that. So it helps us keep things in perspective. There are many in our community that know us as a generous church. That's a fact. There's many in our community that know us as a generous church. We help out with things like the coldest night of the year, or with the Cloverdale Community Kitchen, or with the school lunch program, or whatever. There's a lot of people who know us as a generous church. And we as a church can only achieve that through your generosity. But I think for all of us as individuals, I don't think it's enough for us to say, oh, I go to a church that's, you know, generous, or I'm a part of a church that's generous. I'm a part of a community that's generous. I think the goal for all of us, myself included, should be, I want to be a generous person who's a part of a generous church. I want to be a generous person. I want to be known as a generous person who's a part of a generous church. And there, like I said, there are many who know us to be a generous church. But let's not use that as an excuse for us not to be generous in our day-to-day life. Because generosity reflects who God is to people. And sometimes that's the only way that they're going to be able to see who God is. Our school lunch program, Mark says this all the time. If a kid's hungry, it doesn't matter what you're going to tell him. If he hasn't eaten all day, he or she hasn't eaten all day, they're not going to care what you have to tell them. Generosity is huge. So my hope and prayer for all of us is that we're a generous people, a part of a generous church, trying to influence people for the kingdom. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your generosity. God, I thank you so much for the example of your generosity and how countless times in my own life I've failed. I've done the wrong thing. I've been selfish or self-centered, and you're always generous and full of grace with me. I thank you for that. God, I pray that in our weeks going forward that you would just show us ways that we can be generous, that you would challenge us, that you would stretch us, that you would call us to more, and that you would change our perspective on how we view things. And God, I pray that people in Cloverdale and around the world would come to know you because of our generosity, and that people would experience life change because of our generosity. God, you're so good. We thank you for it, and we ask all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for joining us this morning. I hope you guys have an awesome week. Enjoy the sunshine, and we'll see you next week.